The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello, I'm your host, Peter Strachan. Welcome to this Stockhead Rock Yarn. In a world aiming to decarbonise energy supply, energy companies are refocusing on a low energy future. WA is developing a Midwest energy hub around its renewable energy generation, existing infrastructure, and a future where hydrogen manufacture can play an important part to reduce emissions. To bring us up to date with these new opportunities and other developments, we are joined by the Executive Chairman of Pilot Energy, Brad Lingo. Welcome, Brad. You began to assist Pilot in April last year and became Chairman in May 2020. What is your vision for Pilot going forward, and how has your background in banking and petroleum assisted with the process?
Well, thank you, Peter. Really happy to talk about the Pilot story. When I came in, it was clear recognition that Pilot held quite a substantial position in the Midwest region of Western Australia, but was, you know, a nano cap, so to speak, in oil and gas, and that there was a clear move in the market and a clear move in investor appetite, moving away from, you know, funding exploration by junior oil and gas companies, and a real drive to look at the energy transition and a focus on moving more and more towards a clean energy future. And the major shareholders that brought me in to look at Pilot said, you know, Brad, take a look at our holdings, tell us what we should do and what's the path forward. And it was very clear to me that the operating position that Pilot had and has sat in one of the most richly endowed renewable energy resource regions in all of Australia. And I put forward to the shareholders that what they had was largely unrecognized in their previous business strategy, and that we really should be embracing the fact that we sat in such a rich resource position and leveraging those existing assets and those existing tenures to pursue those resources in keeping with this drive towards a cleaner energy future.
Yeah, so for listeners and other parts of Australia and around the world, it might be worthwhile just explaining to the north of Perth and south of Geraldton is a very rich area for both wind and solar. I mean, it's windy all the time, either from the west or the east, and it's a very reliable solar resource as well.
Exactly. I mean, when you know, I started peeling back the layers of the onion skin, so to speak, on what Pilot held. It was a very clear recognition of that rich endowment. And the more and more I looked at it, the offshore wind is equivalent in terms of consistency in wind speeds that you see where offshore wind power is being developed in the North Sea. The onshore solar is some of the richest in the world. And when I started looking at, you know, all the hard work that had been done by the Australian government, had been done by the universities, it well and truly highlighted that. It was recognized by ARENA on their maps. It was recognized by Geoscience Australia on their maps. It was recognized by the World Bank on their maps as to this overlapping richness of the renewable energy resource in the Midwest region of Western Australia. And, you know, we had BP put out its feasibility study for its green chemicals project in the Midwest region 2 weeks ago. And that entire feasibility study prepared by GHD for BP for that green chemicals project, you know, first and foremost highlights that rich, consistent endowment of wind and solar resource that sits there in the Midwest region. and why it's you know, a preferred site for development of hydrogen production in their business model. A lot of people, you know, may or may not be aware that Geoscience Australia in 2019 did a very detailed Australia-wide report on the prospectivity for hydrogen development in Australia, and looked at the entire country and rated it in five different scenarios. And this Midwest region of Western Australia, across all five of those scenarios, whether it was with or without infrastructure constraint, whether it was focused on green or blue hydrogen, whether it involved carbon capture and storage or not, and access to water, this area always showed up at all five scenarios in the top 20th percentile of where hydrogen could be developed in Australia commercially.
So, Brad, your experience in banking and then in petroleum area, how do those skills dovetail with the business model that Pilot's now developed over the last 18 months?
Well, on the first and foremost, one of the ways that I try to explain it is, if you look at the DNA of Pilot, its ambition was to explore, appraise, develop, and ultimately produce world-class hydrocarbon resources in the onshore-offshore North Perth Basin. What's changed now is Pilot's business model in adopting a petroleum-based approach is that Pilot's mission now is to explore, appraise, develop, and produce those world-class renewable resources that sit within its Midwest Western Australia footprint.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that involves being able to attract appropriate levels of debt and equity capital, understanding how to go through the proving up stage, going through undertaking those pre-feasibility and bankable feasibility studies, to go through the process that we call from working from our existing tenures to go through feasibility to permitting, and permitting to partnering, and attracting both equity capital in the form of partners, and then ultimately debt capital in terms of funding and overall development of these projects.
So, Brad, Pilot has attracted some partners, Royal Energy. You're working with Bridge Street Capital on the funding front. Can you just run us through those types of partnerships and associations that the company has made?
Well, from the outset, one of the things we realized that within our existing footprints in the Midwest, that there was a logical anchor point to do our developments around in the Midwest, particularly the offshore wind, as well as the onshore solar, and that led us to a very early friendly discussion with Royal Energy, private company at the time, which was a 50% operator of the Cliffhead offshore oil field, with a holder of a 21.25% beneficial economic interest in the oil field and infrastructure. And it was really that attraction to that particular asset and its logical position as a nexus for the development of both offshore and onshore renewable energy resources. Really, it's a game of location, location, location in terms of access to that infrastructure, sitting in that very resource-rich renewable energy zone in the Midwest. In terms of that engagement with Bridge Street Capital, you know, Bridge Street really does understand that early capitalization process that a company with a really well thought out resources business plan, and in our case, renewable resources business plan, needs to go through. They've been highly successful in supporting other players in the Midwest, in the North Perth Basin, and we took to them, you know, that same geographic focus, that same energy market focus, but with a different proposition. It was a proposition around renewable energy.
And so the listener would probably remember that sort of Cliffhead has a platform produced over 15 million barrels of oil. It's currently producing about 850 barrels of oil a day and still has over a million barrels of reserves, I think, from memory. Mm. But the good thing about that position is that there's already a power line that comes from the coast out to the platform. And if you had offshore wind turbines there, you could just as easily turn the power around and bring it back to the coast along that existing power system.
Peter, that's a very good point. And, you know, as we advance our, you know, understanding of executing a development around Cliffhead, we came across, and it was in response to a question from an institutional investor, said, "Brad, can you show me where someone has done this already? What you're talking about?" And we came back to him and say, "You need to look at the Beatrice project offshore Scotland." Now, Beatrice started out as a demonstrator offshore wind project with two or three wind turbines tied back to the Beatrice A oil production platform. It was executed by Talisman, started power generation in 2007. And while that demonstrator project was being executed, a much larger development went through its feasibility planning, its FID, ultimately financial close. And now Beatrice is the largest renewable energy project in Scotland, all starting from that initial development of tying two or three wind turbines back to the Beatrice A platform, providing all the power needed for the field, and then exporting power by an existing power cable back to the mainland, which is exactly what we see can be done at Cliffhead. And what makes the Cliffhead Midwest offshore region so attractive, it's not just the richness of the offshore wind resource, it's its close proximity to the existing onshore transmission system. It is shallow water. It's got one of the widest shelves in Australia in a rich wind region. And there was a recent Australian wind study, offshore wind farm study, done by the Blue Economy CRC. And it highlighted just the quality of this region. And that's not new, you know. As we looked harder and harder and said, this is really the plan that we need to adopt. This was identified and written up by the University of New South Wales in 2009, article published in Wind Power Monthly, and identified this area as the number one location for both the technical and commercial feasibility of the development of offshore wind in Australia.
So, Brad, the thing about weather-dependent power generation, wind or solar, is that you've either got a feast or a famine. And the dealing with the feast, one of the things we can do is talk about batteries. And included in batteries, we can talk about generation of hydrogen, whether it's green or blue hydrogen. So where's the company going with those sort of studies?
We're principally focusing on the hydrogen value chain as the modality for storing that rich renewable resource. And it also ties into the fact that because we also have the position at Cliffhead, not only can we generate cost-effectively green hydrogen, we can also generate even lower-cost blue hydrogen. Now, blue hydrogen is hydrogen is traditionally produced at just about every refinery and every fertilizer plant in the world through the SMR or ATR process technology. But what makes it blue is that ability to capture the CO2 generated by that process and geosequester it through carbon capture and storage. And that's one of the things that we have as a unique position in the Midwest, that at the Cliffhead oil field, and we've done pre-feasibility screening on this with Risk Advisory out of Perth, Risk being Australia's leading independent petroleum engineering firm, that with the Cliffhead oil field just on a carbon capture and storage basis. We can capture and store 500,000 tons per annum of CO2 on a baseload basis for 13 years at a cost of $16 a ton.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of carbon dioxide, and there are other reservoirs in the basin as well, which would be suitable for pumping carbon dioxide down into. In fact, as we've, you know, you would know from a previous life, the pumping of carbon dioxide into these reservoirs can actually assist with the recovery of remnant sort of petroleum products.
Correct, and one of the things that ultimately could do, and this is part of the additional detailed feasibility studies we're doing on the blue hydrogen project, is not just the CCS component, but the CCUS component for Cliffhead.
Yeah,
and you know, as a rule of thumb, you know, Cliffhead, you pointed out, has produced 15 million barrels to date. On a 2P basis, it has 75 million barrels of original oil in place, and through a successful CCUS project, you should be able to achieve 40 to 50% total recoveries of that oil in place. So that's a lot of oil over and above the 15 million barrels that's already been produced.
So for the avoidance of doubt, Brad, the blue hydrogen uses what, methane as raw material?
As a feedstock, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And you run it through SMR, which is steam methane reformation. You use about 20% of your natural gas feedstock to actually generate the steam. The other 80% of that methane is then reacted with the steam, which then breaks off the hydrogen molecule of the methane, but does produce a byproduct of CO2. And that's what happens at, like I said, just about every refinery or fertilizer plant in the world, but it is pure CO2. And a blue hydrogen project, right from the outset, doesn't look at retrofitting the process, but embeds in the process that you capture all of that CO2. And if you've got the place for carbon capture and storage, geosequestration, then you capture it and inject it down into those reservoirs. And that's exactly what we have at Cliffhead.
Yeah.
Because it's even what makes it more cost effective with Cliffhead is the field was always developed contemplating that there would be an enhanced oil recovery project there. So the wells were actually set up for not just production, but injection. When Rock Oil developed the field, they were contemplating doing that via a chemical flood because CO2 wasn't available. And the way the field is connected to the onshore processing, there is an oil production pipeline that comes from the field, but there's also a water injection pipeline that goes from the onshore processing back to the field.
That's right.
So you have all the infrastructure in place to actually have a very low cost, straight line development, either for CCS or CCUS.
Well, Brad, you've got a lot of things on your plate. We'll look forward to seeing those studies come through and also the development of a market for the hydrogen and how you get that energy back into the grid, or whether it goes through fuel cells or what. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of options to look at down the track, but at least now the audience has got a very good understanding of where Pilot sits and what it's doing with these projects. And thanks for coming on to the Rock Yarn today for Stockhead, and we'll look forward for the rest of the year and beyond how Pilot's going to develop these renewable energy resources alongside its existing petroleum projects.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's our pleasure.